This isn't a situation where you have an episodic gaffe.
Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here.
This is daily and weekly.
Just so you understand, he's not going to go into Ukraine. Dan, you can take it anywhere
you want.
Well,
he's already there, isn't he?
Okay, well.
Where they are distancing themselves from statements he's making.
I think I made a lot of sacrifices.
There has to be a point at which you say, this is not somebody I can support.
I don't regret anything. I said nice things about the son.
Even if he purports to be a member of my party.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
People don't understand.
Every day.
That's okay.
Every day.
I love babies.
Feel that very strongly.
Every day.
Don't blame Donald Trump for that.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And listen to that. Could the discreet exodus from the Trump campaign by the unlikely likes of John Kasich and Jeb Bush and not so discreet Ted Cruz become a real stampede? I mean, what does it say when Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg, and Richard Armitage are all supporting the same candidate? Add to that list Meg Whitman, a big-time Republican fundraiser and Hewlett-Packard executive, called the Republican nominee Donald Trump a demagogue this week and announced she would instead be voting for Hillary Clinton. New York Republican Congressman Richard Hanna has also added his name to the growing list of defectors. The recent insensitive statements by Trump about the family of Kazir Khan have brought supportive GOP leaders like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell closer to a possible moment of truth. There is now an entire PAC, Political Action Committee, dedicated to helping them get there. Craig Snyder, chairman of the Republicans for Her PAC, is with me now. Thanks for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you. Well, great to be here.
So what motivated this, aside from a lot of disgruntlement associated with Donald Trump? And why do you need a PAC, a political action committee, to actually enforce this sort of thing?
Well, the motivation is, as corny as it may sound, love of country and fear of the future of the country were Trump to be elected. PACs are groupings of like-minded people who are willing to put time and money together to advance a message and support a cause. So it's the right vehicle for Republicans like myself who want to support Secretary Clinton for president. To come together, make a statement, be heard, and really communicate with other Republicans primarily about why we think what we do and hope that they'll come along with us.
A lot of Republicans who have expressed reservations about Donald Trump feel very, very nervous about breaking with the party, that it's even more damaging than a Trump victory would be. How do you deal with that in the PAC?
These are times where people's passions, political passions, run very, very high, probably the highest that we've seen in this country since the 1960s. And so you're not going to convince everybody, obviously. There are going to be folks who believe that they have to remain loyal to the party as an institution in order to protect its future. And of course, there are actual Trump supporters. But there is also, I think, a very significant number in the millions of people who identify themselves as Republicans that feel that Trump, as I do, is an unacceptable commander in chief, simply dangerous to our kids, our grandkids, our future.
So rhetorically speaking, you're kind of calling for a suspension of the traditional debate over the principles of the Democratic Party versus the principles of the Republican Party and saying, hold on. This guy's disqualified. This isn't a matter of I disagree with Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump just does not function as president. He's a dangerous incompetent or something. I don't know how to use it. This is a different kind of argument.
It's got two parts to it, John. One is that in my view and folks who agree with me in the Republican Party, Trump doesn't pass the test that Mayor Bloomberg laid out in his speech at the Democratic convention. That is, he's not sane and competent. But there's a second part of the argument, which is that I'm not asking anybody to betray the what I consider to be the real principles of the Republican Party. I think that Donald Trump does not represent those principles. I think his ascendancy in the party is some kind of aberrant takeover, if you will, by a portion of the party, a minority of its primary voters, and that there is a possibility for the restoration of what I consider to be sort of real Republican principles after Donald Trump is defeated.
So do you believe this PAC could possibly manage to marginalize Donald Trump as a candidate while at the same time resurrecting and helping down-ballot candidates all over the country in Congress?
Well, I guess that's sort of the grandest statement of the hopes that we have. It all depends on the level of support that we receive. But we're going to try our best to do at least one thing well, and that is give Republican voters who are inclined against Donald Trump, who are willing to look at a vote for Hillary Clinton, to give them the best case for why they should do that and to make them feel kind of safe and comfortable and protected in doing that. If we're able to go beyond that to look at down ballot races, we'll do so, but that's not the primary objective.
Everyone who's had this intellectual sort of soul searching, and it sounds like you've had, and President Obama talked about it yesterday, that you distance yourself from Trump, but then there's a point where you go, you know what? It's too much. I'm out. What was that point for you?
Oh, I was never in. My firm, political consulting firm, had partners within it that represented Donald Trump both in business dealings and in political dealings back as far as the 1990s. So I had the opportunity to watch him and some of his close advisors at pretty close range. I never liked what I saw. I always thought that what people say now about megalomania and sort of instability was present from the creation, so to speak. So I was never on the Trump train and never really had to search my soul about getting off of it. For me, the hard question was about the long-term future of a two-party system in the United States, which I think is indispensable. We have to have a competition for power and we have to have a competition for ideas. And the question is what's the best way to do that in the context of this, you know, sort of unprecedentedly dangerous candidacy?
Well, what do you say to the injured veterans that we spoke with? And we spoke with one yesterday who says, I sacrificed far more than Donald Trump did. I understand what Kazir Khan is saying at the Democratic National Convention, but the worst thing to happen in U.S. history would be Hillary Clinton becoming president.
Well, I just respectfully disagree. Obviously, there are people who have very passionate negative feelings about Secretary Clinton. I believe those feelings are mistaken. I think they've been fanned by 25 years, maybe more, an entire generation of a concerted partisan effort on the part of the more right-wing quarters of the Republican Party to delegitimize her, and I don't think that they reflect accurately her record, her experience, her values. Now, I'm not here, you know, I'm not here to argue the case that Hillary Clinton is going to be the next Abraham Lincoln or Winston Churchill. I don't believe that. If there were other Republican nominees, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and I wouldn't have formed this organization. I'd be supporting the Republican candidate. But this is a unique choice that America has at a unique moment in history, and we have to face where we are. I've been saying to people, you know, you get invited to the banquet, and the RSVP card says chicken or fish. You can write in steak if you want, but they're not going to serve it to you. You got to pick chicken or fish. And in this case, Secretary Clinton, I think, is just abundantly clear that she would be, again, I'm going to quote Mayor Bloomberg, a sane and competent president. You might disagree with her on some policies. You might even have questions about, you know, her sort of political character. But none of those things rises to the level of the really unique danger that I think Donald Trump poses, both in terms of temperament and character, and also in terms of Trumpism, if you will, this, you know, sort of incoherent set of ideas that he's thrown out that hearken to jingoism, to nativism, to racism, to isolationism, to the worst strains in the history of American politics, particularly the way in which America relates to the world.
Paul Ryan and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have been challenged by the president and others to sort of face the music here and that they have a decision to make. They've criticized Trump, but they haven't withdrawn their endorsement. Do you believe they're in that position?
Look, I've worked with both of them. I have respect for both of them, and I have respect for the very great difficulty that they're in the present situation, which really nobody could have, you know, could have imagined for party leaders in terms of whether or not they would support the nominee of their own party. It's a difficult place that they're in politically. And it's a difficult place they're in morally. The president's, you know, free to advise them on how to search their souls. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is look for the people who are like-minded with myself. And there's more and more of them. I mean, I think you're going to see on a daily basis now for the remainder of this campaign, prominent Republicans joining this Republicans for Her movement.
So here's the fun question, Craig, before we go. You get all this money. Do you actually design ads to deliver this message, like outtakes from, the Titanic movie or something? Get off the ship? I mean, what do you do?
Well, yes, we are looking to do advertising in targeted states aimed at targeted voting groups. We've actually already made, if people go to our website, republicansforher2016.com, they can see a number of videos, number of ads that we've already made. Look, our primary message is this is an incredibly dangerous moment in world history with the rise of a resurgent and aggressive Russia, with the Chinese making what people agree to be illegal claims on big portions of the Pacific Ocean, with the international jihadi movement, et cetera. I could go on and on. This is a dangerous time. Some people liken it to the years before the outbreak of World War I. We need a next commander-in-chief who's going to be within the consensus, and there was a consensus that existed between Republicans and Democrats all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt about the fundamentals, the sort of the basic principles of America's role in the world, and the idea that American power in the world, both hard power and soft power, was indispensable to the progress of our people at home and really the progress of humanity. That is all being questioned, denigrated by Trump in his kind of flippant rants. And if you dismantle the architecture that kept the world safe since World War II, you may well get World War III.
Lots to think about there, but it sounds like you do like my Titanic idea.
We'll look at it.
Craig Snyder, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Craig Snyder is chairman of the Republicans for Her Political Action Committee. Here's some more defectors. Austin, Texas. I'm a lifelong Republican, but I'm disgusted with Trump and cannot vote for him. Thank God for John McCain. You should note that John McCain isn't exactly on the Republicans with Her bandwagon yet. Deer Park, New York. Can't do it. She's a criminal. Well, they're staying put. Bill from Facebook. If you don't like Trump, there are other choices besides Hillary. More than ever, third-party candidates are very appealing. Whatever your party preferences, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave us a comment at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.